We decided it's time to check in with a guy who always has his eye on the draft. He writes for rotoworld.com as well as NFL.com. Josh Norris joins us on the line right now. Josh, good evening. Thanks for coming on with us.
Good evening. Hopefully you don't hear any thunder, or I guess you can't hear lightning, but there's a thunderstorm going on right now. So hopefully I'll stick with you guys throughout the entirety.
Oh, okay. Yeah. If you got to go somewhere, let us know. If you got to take shelter somewhere. I know how
no,
that goes.
You know, I'm not afraid of these loud noises, so I'll stick it out with you guys.
That's good. You do have your first round in place, your mock draft that came out last Wednesday, and you've got the Bills picking number 8 going with Geno Smith. Tell me how you arrived at that, Josh.
Well, to me, obviously there's a big connection, and you guys have discussed this all the time with Ryan Nassib and Doug Marrone, and sure, that might be one viable option, but it's not like Geno Smith is a completely unidentifiable prospect to Doug Marrone either. He's probably very aware of his abilities and everything like that during his college football career. Now, I obviously do think that Geno Smith is a better prospect to Ryan Nassib, but it just comes, it really depends all on how the Bills want to approach it. Do they want to take that quarterback in the first round? They're targeting a certain quarterback, and if that's Geno Smith, if that's someone else, Matt Barkley, or do they want to take the Bengals approach and the San Francisco 49ers approach and take someone else in the first round and draft that quarterback in the second round? It really all depends on there, and I actually think that obviously the Bills are meeting with Geno, on Friday?
Yes. Yep.
But thus far, the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Philadelphia Eagles have given have really poked and prodded and done all their homework on Geno Smith thus far, and maybe we'll start to see more about the Bills' interest, or hear more about it, I guess, when Friday rolls around.
Please tell me, and I think I know the answer to this, Josh, but you're not one of those guys that's overly influenced, if you're influenced at all, by what comes out of a guy's pro day workout. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of I couldn't believe how much Smith's stock shot up with his workout in Morgantown last week.
I love the NFL Combine. But pro days are doing it a bit too much for me. Now, it's all about taking someone out of their element, okay, and putting everyone on an even playing field. That's not what pro days are. Pro days are scripted, and these quarterbacks, these route runners, everyone has already worked through all of them. Now, it might show someone that you hadn't seen certain attributes on film, but you've seen all this stuff that you know. And I was amazed at some people that instantly had turned around after seeing him live, but that's kind of what it does. And you were at the Senior Bowl, and seeing certain people up close, and that makes you feel more comfortable about them. And I guess the same thing could be said for a pro day, but to me, I kind of tuned them out in some aspects.
Yeah. How did it go from maybe no first round, maybe no quarterback is worthy of a first round grade in this draft to Geno Smith is a top 10, maybe even top 5 pick in some people's eyes? How did that happen, Josh?
It's a good question. And it seems like it's been going back and forth with there are going to be 4 or 5 or 3 or 4, I should say, quarterbacks in the first round or none. And me, I don't have as many inside sources as other people, but it just seems logical that at least one is going to go, and probably 2. And that second one might be later in the first round, a team trading up to solidify their spot with one of those quarterbacks. Geno Smith, it just seems like throughout the entire process, he's been the most consistent one. Sure, he wasn't at the Senior Bowl, but this season, I really do think teams liked him at the beginning of the season, and then obviously he progressed week to week. He's not my number one quarterback, but I can certainly see why NFL teams think he is the top option.
Who is your number one quarterback, Josh?
I've stuck with it since the summer, and it's Tyler Wilson. I think it's a complete perfect storm of bad events he faced this year with the loss of a bunch of receivers, a very poor offensive line, obviously the loss of Bobby Petrino. I just love how he sticks in the pocket, handles pressure, and loves to test vertically. And to me, sure, Geno Smith is actually pretty good in the pocket and much better at buying yards for himself when he chooses to do that. He didn't choose to do that as much this season, but Tyler Wilson, sure, he's got his issues. All these quarterbacks do. He needs to step into his throws a little bit more so that the ball doesn't tend to flutter at the end of its targets. But, man, I just love how he doesn't mind taking a punishing in the pocket. And that's something that, to me, a quarterback has to have that first and foremost. They have to work very well in tight spaces, and Tyler Wilson does that.
You know, one thing that Mike Mayock said in the kind of the Combine wrap-up news conference he did on Sunday at the Combine, when he talked about arm talent, he basically said, hands down, Geno Smith has the arm talent, you know, better than anybody in this class. Where does Tyler Wilson stand in that ranking?
It's a good question, and I think a lot of people will question his arm strength because, like I said, his targets do seem to flutter at the end of their passes, of their attempts. But if you put a highlight reel together, I mean, all of these quarterbacks can put a great one together. I mean, Dak Dysart, even, who's my third quarterback. You have Mike Glennon. You have Ryan Nassib. You have all these guys. And they each flash certain aspects. To me, arm talent, sure, and velocity, placement, everything like that is very necessary. But I want someone that is going to stick to the pocket, that is going to face pressure and hit targets decisively. And I think that Tyler Wilson does that first and foremost. But I could buy that Geno Smith has the best arm talent out of anyone, other than maybe a Tyler Bray. But his throwing motion, I guess, could be factored in with arm talent.
Talking with Josh Norris from NFL.com and RotoWorld.com. If listeners, you know, everybody's got questions about some of these draft prospects, phone lines are open. If you have a question for Josh, 803-0550, toll free 1-888-550-2550. On your quarterback rankings, then, you have Tyler Wilson 1, you have Zach Dysart 3. Who's number 2 in your quarterback list?
Geno's number 2.
Geno, I've got okay.
Mike Glennon, number 4, and then Matt Barkley, 5.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Tell me about Barkley. And you know, it's been quiet around Barkley because he wasn't at the Senior Bowl and didn't throw at the Combine.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything yet. Oh. And it certainly isn't what NFL teams want to hear. And I really do think that he was in this offense at USC, and it's tough to take him out of it. It set the spotlight him. It's tough to take him out of his offense where he had a bunch of 5 to 10 yard passing routes and even ones at the line of scrimmage. And sure, he's got good placement, but to me, it was just, he didn't handle himself in pressure, and he faced a lot of it this season because he lost Matt Cleo on the left side. He lost his center Holmes quite often this season. And there were a bunch of A gap pressures, a lot of B gap pressures, and obviously pressure from the outside. And he just didn't handle it well. And sure, he can throw a deep ball with good placement and on bucket throws, but it doesn't have the velocity to me on the downfield targets. And so I think that the passing windows that he has aren't as – the variety is not as much as other quarterbacks just because of his velocity. And so I do worry about that if he's going to have to play in a similar offense, maybe a West Coast-style offense in the NFL.
And lastly, before we say goodbye to the quarterbacks and talk about some of the other players, Ryan Nassib, has your evaluation, your thought on Ryan Nassib changed much over the last few weeks, Josh?
He's right there at 6. And I do like a lot of things about him. I see some Jake Locker in some aspects. Obviously, he can buy himself some time. He's got a cannon for an arm in terms of 5 to probably 15 yards. And apparently, or reportedly, I guess you could say that has been fixed on his downfield throws and his vertical throws. I haven't seen it because obviously the same issue showed up in the Senior Bowl, and he had some placement and bad decision-making issues. And to me, I could see him in the second round area. I just wouldn't spend a first rounder on him, but I think there's a very good chance, and this is just my information, no one else's, that you could be seeing him a lot more next season.
The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live at One Bills Drive. We're on the line with Josh Norris from RotoWorld.com and NFL.com. And Josh, your mock draft issued last Wednesday. You have Eric Fisher, the tackle from Central Michigan, the number one pick going to Kansas City. I thought Jokel was regarded as the number one tackle on the board.
I'm actually glad you brought that up. And it's kind of what we discussed earlier about being comfortable with certain prospects that you see in person. And I just have had more exposure with Eric Fisher, because we saw him in the Senior Bowl and he handled himself very well. He was probably the best player there all week. Went up against Dayton Jones, went up against these very good pass rushers all week and didn't miss a beat. And sure, I think Luke Jokel is a very good prospect. They're 2-4 for me. But Jokel's not this perfect prospect people were making him out to be. Go back and look to the first game of the season, and sure it was the first game of the year, and it was against Florida, but he showed a lot of issues. And I do question how much of a factor Johnny Manziel played in that offense. considering how much those defensive ends had to change their angles, be less aggressive, play more contained so we didn't escape the pocket and run. To me, just Eric Fisher, sure he played at Central Michigan, but I just prefer him slightly, very slightly, to Luke Joeckel.
Hey, Josh, since star Lotulelei left the combine with that heart issue, things have been quiet around him. I think their pro day is coming up soon at Utah. What do we know about him, his physical status? And you've got him at, 11 going to San Diego, but is that going to hold? I mean, what are we waiting to hear about him?
You know, I think we're going to hear a lot more coming up in the next few days as pro day. And he's supposed to fully participate. I would expect everything to be cleared. It wasn't a failed medical. It was just an incomplete. So I think they saw something on the echocardiogram that hadn't shown up with other athletes. And those things can be tricky. And sure, they're professionals that did it. But nothing's come up from him. He actually played something about just above 91% of Utah's defensive snaps this season, which is unbelievable. The average is somewhere from 70 to 80%. And so people are going to say that, sure, he took some plays off or wasn't at his best in every snap. When you're playing 91% of your team's defensive snaps, you've got a heck of a motor. And so if Star's heart issue has never flared up before, and I think it's going to be cleared here probably this week, or if not in the next 2 weeks, he's a solid top 14 pick. I don't see him getting past the Carolina Panthers.
You know, I see on your mock draft, too, from last week, Josh, at number 16 going to the Rams, Tavon Austin from West Virginia. He basically shot up the charts based on his running at the combine last month, right?
You know, he is such a stud. He's the best playmaker in this draft and my number one skill position player. He's electric with the ball in his hands in space. And I do think that just showing up and looking muscular and not looking small, he's just short. And he showed that with something like 12 or 16 bench press reps. I think it was closer to 12. That he had some power to him. And he did not miss a practice his entire career at West Virginia during those 4 years, which is crazy. And so that just shows you have durability. And I think teams might be concerned with that because he's a smaller package. But he's electric, like I said, as a returner, as a ball carrier, as a receiver. And with all these slot receivers being more prominently featured in the NFL, I think Tavon Austin is the next one.
You know, the kind of receiver the Bills have been talking about, Josh, is like a Cordarrelle Patterson type, the Tennessee receiver. You've got him at 17 right after Tavon Austin going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. What did you think of his performance at the Combine? And what do you think of him overall?
Patterson is who he is. He's a very natural playmaker. He doesn't show the same explosiveness after the catch as he does he doesn't show the same explosiveness during his routes as he does after the catch. I should put it that way. After the catch, he is a very electric playmaker, similar to Austin, except in a bigger body. He is very fluid. He's a glider that makes people miss and picks up huge chunk of yards and as a returner as a ball carrier as well. But as a route runner, there's no quickness about him. It's just not very fluid routes. And sure, he body catches everything, but I just think he's a natural receiver, and teams are just kind of have to project if he does run that route tree. We've seen that plenty of times in the past. Demaryius Thomas is one that really stands out, someone that came from a triple option attack, had no concept of a route tree, but came in and is now probably one of the top young receivers in football. And I think Cordarrelle Patterson, if teams think he can create that separation, not just with his natural athletic ability, but with his route running as well, he'll be a top 20 pick.
Hey, Josh, I think I know the answer to this, but let me ask you, in the you put your top 100 big board prospects up last Monday, and you've got Chance Warmack, the Alabama guard, number one. And in your mock draft, Chance Warmack lasts all the way down to number 20 to the Chicago Bears. How does that happen?
It's a good question. And obviously, just my big board, my top 100 is just my personal preference. And I actually have Jonathan Cooper going ahead of Chance Warmack.
Yeah.
And I'll explain that because Cooper, some teams are apparently, reportedly, are considering him at center. And so that versatility. And then the two really fit in different schemes. Cooper is someone that is a very fluid mover, gets to the second level, can pull, everything like that. And Chance Warmack's basically just an inline mauler. He just attacks everything in his path, very consistent pass protection. He was the most dominant player at any position in college football that's in the draft this year. It's just, where do guards go? Last year, everyone said that David DeCastro was the best guard of prospect in the last 25 years or 20 years, 15, whatever. But he didn't go until later in the first round. And same thing with Kevin Zeitler. But Kevin Zeitlin made a very good impact. I think that this year could be different. I think even though that the Tennessee Titans took Andy Levitch from you guys, that I think that Chance Wormack could still possibly be a landing spot there, and, but that might be his ceiling.
Last thing, Josh, how much will your top 100 board, or how much will your, how many more mock drafts will you do between now and, you know, draft day? I think, what would I say, a little over 5 weeks away from draft day.
You know, I think April will be a lot more frequent mock drafts, just because mock drafts are all about buzz and who's being selected where and everything like that, and who's being rumored to go where. And but the big board probably won't change very much, maybe a couple of slight changes just as I'm reviewing all this. But right now I think it's pretty firm, and it's only 5 weeks left, like you said. It's going by really fast.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I hope we get a chance to talk to you again before then, Josh. Thanks very much for coming on with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys.